You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And today, we're catching up with the injuries on this Bears roster, looking at how they affected the team against the New York Jets on Sunday and how they'll affect the team moving forward. We will go through the loss of Allen Robinson in the wide receiving core, the absence of Khalil Mack in the pass rush, and Kyle Long's leg injury that didn't look good. Just a quick programming note before we dive in here. It's looking like your daily Chicago Bears podcast will be a little bit less daily in the next week and potentially 2 weeks here. I will be flying to Australia and I will be in airports Monday, Tuesday, and for most of Wednesday. So my ability to give you Tape Tuesday and a full week of podcasts. So I'll be about 15 hours ahead, and Bears games on Sunday will be played at 3 a.m. local time. So I'm still figuring out what exactly my podcast plans are going to be for the next 2 weeks, but I just wanted to give you fair warning ahead of time that the schedule might not be as consistent, at least until about mid-November when I'm back stateside. But enough about me and my life. Let's get into this Bears win over the Jets. It was not a pretty game. Didn't look all that great in terms of quality of performance, but a win is a win. And after two straight losses, the Bears absolutely have to take it. And perhaps the ugliest part of the win was on one of the last plays of the game offensively for the Bears, with Kyle Long's leg getting rolled up on in a pileup in the middle of the field. If you're listening to the broadcast, you could hear this loud yell. It was just a shriek of agony, and it's easy enough to assume that was coming from Kyle Long in the pile. And of course, as of Monday with this podcast, we don't know the full extent or diagnosis of his injury, but we can pretty reliably say it did not look good. Kyle was really unable to put any weight on that right leg as he was being helped off the field by trainers, basically just one leg at a time there, with somehow two guys holding up his 350-pound body. And then when he does get to the sideline, he sits down on the cart and gets taken away to the locker room. And typically, when you have guys of that size, those types of injuries are always about as bad as you think. So I don't want to speculate too wildly, but I do get the impression that it looked bad, and it looked like the kind of thing that at the very least is going to leave him out for multiple games, if not the rest of the season. And certainly I think it raises some bigger question marks about his long-term future in Chicago, but that's for another podcast and another conversation, because in the meantime, we need to focus on what the Bears are going to do at right guard. You know, with Eric Kush out, it was James Daniels that got the start at left guard, and just watching it live, I wasn't overly impressed with what he was able to do, but I need to look at the All-22 before I pass too much judgment there. So I think your next step at right guard then will depend on Eric Kush's health. He's been dealing with a stinger that had him on the injury report last week with the neck injury, but he played and did the rotation, but then this week evidently was not able to go and practiced a lot less during the weekend, and it was an excuse to give Daniels his first start. So if Eric Kush is healthy again next week, one of them is going to move over to right guard, and I hope it would be Eric Kush, but I have a feeling it would be James Daniels. They were more inclined to move James Daniels to that right side earlier in the season and certainly during the preseason, so I think it would be better for Daniels' development to leave him on the left side, but I have a feeling if Kush is healthy, we would see Daniels end up getting the bump over there to the right. But you also have the potential here of Brian Witzman, who came in for the, I think, two snaps that the Bears played without Kyle Long in this game. The veteran formerly of the Kansas City Chiefs filled in at right guard. And, you know, he does know Matt Nagy's offense, so perhaps in that sense they're more confident in him. He was a 13-game starter for the Chiefs last year at left guard. Wasn't great by any means, but when you're talking about a guy coming off the bench in Chicago to start at best probably a couple games, if not potentially the rest of the season, you can maybe survive with Brian Witzman as your starter. It's not the worst case scenario there. You also could put Bradley Sowell in at left guard and then maybe move Daniels to right guard. That way the Bears have some flexibility here. They have some options. You know, if there was a position where they could sustain injuries, if you had to pick one, it would be these guard spots. They don't really have much tackle depth, and you never want to be moving around your center and putting different guys in there. So they, you know, it's going to be a concern whether it's Brian Witzman or it's James Daniels flipping over to that right side, or even Eric Kush potentially flipping over to that right side. But it's something they're at least a little bit more prepared with. They have some experienced depth in there as well. And if Eric Kush can get healthy, they can feel a little bit better about having multiple options to keep Mitchell Trubisky upright up front and try and create some more running room for Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. Overall, this offensive line did a good enough job to keep the offense afloat and put up 24 points on the board. That was enough to cover a full 7-point spread over the Jets this week on mybookie.ag. And if you're sitting here kicking yourself for not taking that bet, then you got to check out MyBookie and get in the game. MyBookie's been in this business for years with tons of great reviews online, and their mobile site is really easy to use. Join now, and MyBookie will match your first deposit dollar for dollar when you use the promo code LOCKEDON when you sign up. They also have live and in-game betting as well, so there's plenty of ways to play and plenty of rewarding player perks along the way, and you'll get double the money to lay down and win big with that LOCKEDON promo code. At MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Up next, we'll keep it on the offense and look at how this passing game did without Allen Robinson and how they might fare if the number one wide receiver has to miss more time. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. So as we discuss the Bears' win over the Jets from an injury standpoint, we move to Allen Robinson sitting out with the groin injury and the impact on the passing offense. And Robinson suffered this injury, I believe, against the Miami Dolphins 2 weeks ago, kept him limited in practice for the following week, and he was questionable against the Patriots, gave it a go, and then seemed to tweak it in the early fourth quarter of that game, and Nagy didn't have him play for the final 13 minutes. It left Robinson fairly limited again at practice this past week. He was questionable for the Jets game, and Adam Schefter had reported Saturday night / Sunday morning that Robinson was not going to be able to go. So the Bears were able to prepare pretty well, knowing they weren't going to have their number one receiver. And they're certainly fortunate to have an offense that doesn't need that true number one receiver necessarily. It always helps, don't get me wrong. Having a true number one wide receiver, even in this system, is extremely valuable. But we've seen the other receivers on this team, the depth that Ryan Pace built this offseason, we've seen them be more than capable of producing on their own, and we did see that again in, you know, without Robinson against the Jets. Believe it or not, the wide receiver who started and played the most snaps in the game was Josh Bellamy, with 55 out of the Bears' 66 snaps. And he is a good blocker, as a lot of people know. And I often find myself defending him, even though I don't think he is a great receiver. I think his issue with drop passes is overblown and is more of a low-hanging fruit than an actual valid criticism. He hasn't dropped a pass since week 15 of last year. Certainly been mistakes along the way, but no true drop passes since then. And, you know, he was able to make a few plays downfield, 4 catches for 37 yards. Not a game changer, but a reliable weapon who caught the ball and got open a few times and, you know, did his job. You know, Bellamy's never going to be a guy that you want to have to rely on as your I guess, sort of number one receiver in terms of total snaps played and opportunities in that sense. But as a fourth or fifth option in your offense, he can get the job done. I mean, it was still largely a Taylor Gabriel focused attack, trying to get those deep shots downfield. They connected for a couple of decent gains, but not quite the full on breakaway sideline, you know, downfield shot, but still four catches, 52 yards, a decent amount after the catch, kind of moving him around to both sides of the field, getting him some different matchups and being able to connect that way. Nothing perfect, but the typical Taylor Gabriel experience. And then Anthony Miller kind of got going a little bit more. It wasn't, again, a breakout performance from him, as maybe some people were expecting, but got his touchdown, a nice play, a nice connection between quarterback and receiver, being able to read the coverage and understand that Buster Skrine, the slot cornerback, was working to the outside where Miller was trying to go, so Trubisky threw it to the inside. Great placement, great adjustment by the receiver, and overall a nice touchdown pass. And Miller also had a pretty nice 23-yard gain going against Marcus May in coverage as well. So there were some plays there, and we saw that connection continue to grow. And it felt like it was supposed to be Anthony Miller's turn in that sense. You know, in week one, it was Robinson that got the bulk of the targets, and I think he had double-digit catches, and Trubisky kept going to him. Then after a few weeks, it was the Taylor Gabriel show with a lot of those shots downfield and Trubisky dialing in there. Last week, it was all Trey Burton when you got to be down the stretch and finally getting on the same page as his shiny new tight end. So then the next guy, and really the last guy left to lock into, was Anthony Miller. And, you know, three catches for 37 yards isn't exactly locking in, although he did have the most targets of any Bears receiver on the team with seven. It was largely a well-distributed passing attack. It was not too individually focused anywhere, and that's not always by choice or by design. Sometimes it's just about what the defense is giving you and taking that. And, you know, sometimes the defense gives you the same receiver over and over again, and sometimes you kind of have to manufacture your own open receiver. So, you know, spreading the ball around quite a bit. I was surprised Tariq Cohen wasn't called upon more in the passing game. He made that 70-yard screen play at the beginning that was phenomenal, but that was his only catch. And when the game was done and I saw that, I was like, well, that was his only catch. I thought it felt like he was more involved in the offense than he actually was. But it's encouraging that Allen Robinson sits out, your number one target, your big money wide receiver, and the ball does get spread around everywhere. And the more hands touch the ball, the more you can throw at a defense, the more they have to prepare for, and the more ways you can attack them. It's really, I think, pretty much as close to the best way you can best take advantage of not having Allen Robinson. You don't just want to funnel the offense continually through one person. They spread the ball around there today. It was successful, and it ultimately gives you a little bit more confidence if Robinson's not going to be able to go. You know, Trubisky is on the same page pretty much with all his new receivers. You can always get even closer and, you know, develop an even stronger connection, but the baseline is there. They have weapons, even, you know, throw into White and Bellamy. There's a lot of different guys that this ball can go to, even when Robinson is sidelined, and that's great news for the future of this offense. Now, on the other side, the story of the pass rush without Khalil Mack didn't quite go as well. We'll look at what went right and what didn't next on Locked On Bears. So as we all know, Khalil Mack ended his streak of consecutive games played on Sunday, sitting out against the Jets with the ankle injury he suffered against the Patriots. And it's interesting because Nagy had said all week that the injury hadn't gotten any worse, but hadn't really gotten any better either from the Patriots game. So, in theory, there's no reason why it should be different than it was last week. And last week, he was able to play. So, the question becomes, you know, is this just a head coach who regretted playing Mack last week and realized that, you know, even at the same injury level, we shouldn't play him? I mean, I think a lot more goes into this type of decision than just what a head coach wants and maybe what Mack wants. I think there's a lot of doctors involved there, and maybe things had changed more than Nagy let on. But either way, we did not get to see Khalil Mack. And so that put a lot of the pressure on Leonard Floyd and, of course, Aaron Lynch getting the start opposite him. And the Bears made Isaiah Irving and Kylie Fitz active, and we'll get more on that a little bit later. But this was mostly the Leonard Floyd and Aaron Lynch show, and they didn't get much going from the edge rusher position. I didn't really notice Aaron Lynch getting any pressure on the quarterback or making much of a difference as a pass rusher. And looking at the snap count, both Floyd and Lynch had 29 pass rushing snaps and one coverage snap. So you can eliminate the dropping back into coverage as a reason for the lack of Bears pass rush. They did not do that much with their outside linebackers at all. And largely it was a four-man rush, with the exception of the Bryce Callahan blitzes, and Sherrick McManus got in there a few times. And Bryce Callahan continues to be a phenomenal player. He had a great game, and you know, we'll get more on him hopefully on tape Tuesday, but he blitzed three times, got one sack and two hurries, and really missed a tackle on the quarterback for what could have been two sacks for him in this game. I think he's rushed now eight times in the total of the season and has seven pressures. I mean, he was the Bears' top source of pass rush. And to Leonard Floyd's credit, he was able to, at times, get pressure on the quarterback. But it was back to more the ways we had seen Leonard Floyd get pressure on the quarterback last year and in years before. The Bears ran a lot more stunts. It felt like a lot more stunts. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. You know, the Pro Football Focus data is not finalized until Monday afternoon, so I can't sit here and say for sure. But what was more noticeable is that Floyd had more success on the stunts. The Jets' interior offensive line struggled to properly pick it up and exchange blocks, and so you saw Floyd get essentially unblocked pressures up the middle. There were a few of those times when he would loop inside, and you know, he's technically beating the guard, but he's not really having to do much of a pass rush move. He's already got a full head of steam, and he just kind of runs around him, and you know, there's certainly some merit there, and it's production, and it affects the quarterback. So give Floyd credit for, I think, affecting the quarterback in this game more than he had in any other game this season. But overall, it's still not enough from your outside linebackers. You needed more from Aaron Lynch. You needed more from Leonard Floyd. You know, Akeem Hicks got some decent pass rush going from the interior. Goldman did a little bit at the top of the pocket, and Nichols as well. But this is a edge pressure reliant defense. You need these guys on the outside to get home, to get to the quarterback, which Floyd never did, which Lynch certainly struggled to do. And so I guess in that sense, I was once again surprised that Isaiah Irving and Kylie Fitz didn't get more opportunities. You look at the snap counts, the defense was on the field for 54 plays, and Floyd played 47 of them. He took seven plays off, and Kylie Fitz played seven plays. And Aaron Lynch was on the field for 45 plays. He took nine plays off. Isaiah Irving took all nine of those snaps. So seven for Fitz, nine for Irving, three pass rush snaps each. Neither one really had the opportunity to get after the quarterback and produce as pass rushers. And I'm not saying that either one is going to step in and change the game for this defense, but it does feel like if Lynch isn't producing, and Floyd certainly hadn't been producing much and still isn't winning a lot of one-on-one pass rushing reps against, you know, the offensive tackle on the outside, it would seem like Isaiah Irving and Kylie Fitz should at least get a few more opportunities. You know, you can try them out, and if they get nothing, then you go back to more Floyd and Lynch. I'm not talking about, you know, 30 snaps a game for either your backup outside linebackers, but at least giving them some more pass rush opportunities to try something. Because even in this game, they got some pressure on Sam Darnold, but they really only got home twice, with both times with Bryce Callahan actually getting and touching the quarterback, one for a sack, one for a missed tackle on the quarterback. And some of the time it was Darnold doing a good job of work in the pocket and avoiding pressure that way, and give him credit as well. And I don't mean to necessarily harp on this pass rush too much, because, you know, without Khalil Mack, they maybe did a little bit better than you might have thought, but it's still not necessarily sustainable pass rush. When you're going against Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, when you play good quarterbacks and good offenses, you will need more pass rush than this. I think this type of pass rush works against the New York Jets, and rookie quarterback Sam Darnold. I think it's going to work fine next week against the Buffalo Bills. Whoever they're going to end up starting at quarterback, whether it be Derek Anderson or Nathan Peterman, obviously neither one of those guys particularly scares you. So this is the time. You know, like we talked about last week with Khalil Mack's injury, this is the time to sit him down. This is the time to get him as close to 100% as possible. I would be in no rush to play him next week against the Buffalo Bills. I think the pass rush will be fine in that matchup. You don't need that much of a pass rush to still be able to affect these Buffalo quarterbacks. But beyond that, you still want to see more from Leonard Floyd. You still want to see more from Aaron Lynch. You maybe want to see Isaiah Irving and Kylie Fitz get some opportunities in that rotation. And you could even like to see more from your defensive linemen. You could see more from Hicks, although I thought he did a pretty good job. And, you know, you're never going to get a ton from Eddie Goldman and Bilal Nichols in any game, but there's room for improvement from all these pass rushers. I think Fangio did a better job of letting his edge rushers rush and maybe having more success with more stunts to try and confuse a weak interior of the Jets' offensive line. It's one of the keys we had talked about last week leading into the matchup. So good to see Vic Fangio take advantage of where there were matchups to take advantage of, but you will need more from your individual players eventually here as the level of competition picks up in a few weeks. Potentially by then, Khalil Mack will be back out there and back closer to 100%. But either way, you always want to strive for more and more pass rush. There's no such thing as too many good pass rushers or too much of a pass rush. There's also no such thing as too much Locked On Bears. That's why you got to make sure you are subscribed to the podcast to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis, especially in the next 2 weeks when I am in Australia and the podcast schedule might not be quite as regular as you're used to. Being subscribed on whatever app it is that you use, that'll be the best way to keep up with every podcast we put out. You can also keep in touch on the Locked On Bears Facebook group. Just search Locked On Bears group on Facebook and ask to join, and I can make sure you're not a bot and you're not going to be some kind of Russian spammer or anything like that, and I'll let you in and join in on the conversation. You can also join in the conversation right here on this podcast with the Locked On Bears voicemail and text line. The phone number is 312-620-8590. Give us a call, shoot us a text with your Bears questions, and we'll try and get them answered here on the podcast as well. Plenty of different ways to keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. It is Victory Monday. The week just goes by better when you're coming off of a Bears win. It's a great feeling and a great reason to bear down.